Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. Johnson Wealth and Income Management and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are not associated entities. Johnson Wealth and Income Management is a franchisee of Retirement Income Source, LLC. Retirement Income Source, LLC and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are associated entities.
What kind of a retirement plan allows millions of people to lose 30 to 50% of their life savings just as they near retirement?
It's a society based on freedom and choice and personal responsibility. There are no guarantees.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to provide lifetime income.
Lifetime income.
And now to our story.
Welcome to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson, powered by Johnson Wealth and Income Management. Are you living the life you want? Are you prepared for retirement as you believe you should be? What are your goals for retirement, and how are you going to reach them? In the next 30 minutes of today's program, let's explore the principles necessary to live the capitalized life and the retirement of your dreams. Now, here's this week's Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with your host, Matthew Johnson.
And welcome to this episode of the Capitalized Life and Retirement Show. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, president and owner of Johnson Wealth and Income Management, a retirement income source, located in Clear Lake and Humboldt, Iowa, serving clients in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. Well, how are you today? I hope you're doing well, taking a little bit of time for yourself this weekend, and welcome to today's program. Just recently, I did a radio show program entitled Stop Stealing from Yourself. And I wanted to elaborate just a little bit more because there were so many different variables within that story that I shared that I think need to be elaborated upon. And again, my consideration for this radio show is I want to be able to educate you and forewarn you about the mistakes that are so prevalent in today's financial services world. Mistakes that you can make, mistakes that institutions can make, mistakes that advisors can make. And this is something that if we can simply learn from the mistakes of others, hopefully we can avoid making those same mistakes. So just to kind of recap, I discussed this couple, 65, 67 years of age, that had come in and she had just recently retired. She had a 401k, she had a pension, and their idea was to cash everything in to go buy some storage units. Now, you may remember this if you listened to that radio show. And I kind of unpacked the fact that there's a difference between credit versus debt. And despite the fact that we may want instant gratification in this world, oftentimes if we just pause long enough to be able to think about the long-term ramifications of the decisions we make, we may end up being able to stumble across a better way to be able to do what we want to do. You know, these are all things that if you think about it, this is the reason why you hire a financial advisor to not only be that voice of reason, but also to share with you maybe ideas and perspectives that come at the topic that you're looking at or the decision you're trying to make with a different perspective and maybe a different set of strategies. And so one of the things that this got me to be thinking about is the fact that, you know, today we see a huge propensity for Americans to be saving only pre-tax money. Now, granted, I do believe that it's getting better. I do believe that generations that have come after the baby boomer have woken up to the benefits of things like Roth IRAs. And this is the reason why you see so many baby boomers that have not yet turned 73. They're taking and they're initializing the Roth conversions, and they're trying to move as many dollars out of their pre-tax accounts and into those Roth accounts as they possibly can. But at the same time, we can't ignore the fact that there is always kind of a downside to doing Roth conversions. One of the pain points of doing Roth conversions is the fact that doing a Roth conversion is a taxable event. So when I take $50,000 from my IRA and I move that money into my Roth, now I'm in a position where that was a taxable event for me. And If I'm drawing Social Security, I'm on Medicare. Well, that could not only drive me into the higher tax bracket, which I have to be careful of, but it's also potentially going to trigger things like IRMA. And we have to be careful of IRMA, because if we have too much income coming in, now those Medicare Part B premiums are going to go up. And you got to remember, those can come out of nowhere because they're always going to be running at least a year in arrears. And so a whole year could go by and you think, wow, you know, that was actually okay. But then all of a sudden you get a letter saying that your Medicare premiums are going to go sky high and they're going to stay that way for a while. And so that often takes people by surprise. We also need to think about the fact that when you do a Roth conversion, despite the fact that it's taxable, you're also putting yourself into a position where you won't be able to have access to the gains that you have made on that converted amount. So let me give you an example. Let's say we go back to the example of moving $50,000 from the IRA into the Roth. And let's say that we do it at the right time or we're invested the right way. And now that $50,000 of Roth conversion has grown to $60,000 within the actual Roth account. Well, that's 10 grand of tax-free growth, right? And technically it is, but only if you leave that $10,000 in that Roth account for a period of 5 years. Okay. Now, oftentimes when I'm meeting with individuals that have worked really hard to save their 401k, their 403b, and all of those retirement dollars, they really can't afford not to be utilizing every dollar for income production. And so that can be a bit of a deterrent in doing a Roth conversion. But what's the point of me sharing these things with you? I think all too often, we tend to forget that certain types of money are best suited for certain types of applications. And so maybe this is the first time you've ever heard this. Maybe this is the first time that you've ever thought about it, but that's the whole reason that you're here. The reason that we're all here is to continue to learn, to continue to educate ourselves about being as successful as possible in retirement. And even if you are retired, it doesn't mean you can't make mistakes. Even if you are retired and you've made mistakes, it doesn't mean that you can't do some right things to offset maybe some of the mistakes you've made in the past. And so this is important whether we're retired or we're pre-retired. Now, obviously, we get to do a lot more good things for ourselves for the future if we're not yet retired. So this is going to be more so for those that have not yet retired. These are things we can be thinking about. Now, if you've been listening to this radio show for some time and you've got a burning question, I encourage you, go to our website, JohnsonWIM.com, as in wealthincomemanagement.com, where you will be able to email us whatever questions that you have. I try to, from time to time, pick out a question and throw it into a radio show if I think that it fits with the discussion and the topic of the day. But certainly, if you send us a question and it's something that I know that I can explicitly answer for you and I can help give you a little bit of guidance, I'm willing to do that. So go ahead, go to our website, JohnsonWIM.com, and you'll be able to see previous radio shows. You'll be able to see TV interviews as well as our weekly YouTube videos that I record each week. And you'll be able to reach out to us personally. Believe it or not, we are human beings and we do look at our email. It is something that is a part of our daily life. So all in all, we basically have three different kinds of money that we can work hard to save when we're working, when we've got income coming in through that of a paycheck. Obviously, as I said before, the propensity here in America is to save pre-tax money. And why not? Like, there's a really good incentive to save money pre-tax. If we're making $70,000 a year in wages and we're taking and we're deferring 10,000 of those dollars into a 401k, we're not reporting to the IRS that we're making 70,000. We're only reporting to the IRS that we're making 60 and consequently spending tax money on that 60. So that's a good thing, right? But here's the thing. We also know that we will eventually have to pay the piper. See, the government is telling us they're not going to tax our seed. They're going to tax our crop. And when you think about that, you know, we have 30, sometimes 40 years or more in saving and accumulating and compounding money in those various different retirement accounts, simply so that when we get to retirement, we can draw those dollars back out, because Social Security simply isn't enough. But that's what the government is banking on, right? The government loves, they're licking their chops on this idea that they're going to be able to tax us when we start taking money out of those various different accounts. It's going to happen. And so when we think about pre-tax money, we have to understand the pre-tax money is not what it's all cracked up to be when it comes to lump sum withdrawals. Remember that couple? They were going to cash in the 401k, cash out the pension plan to be able to buy those storage rental units. Sounded like a good idea. But the reality is that they were going to end up paying just an absolute ton in the form of taxes. So if we have worked hard to save money, and a lot of it is pre-tax, we want to consider that money to be income-producing money. Why? Because if you take big chunks of it out, you're going to end up getting really spanked by the IRS. It's not going to be fun, okay? Purchasing a brand new home using IRA money is not going to be fun. Purchasing anything in a very large ticket item is not going to be fun if you pull that from the 401k or the 403b. Those pre-tax dollars are best suited to divvy up over the course of your retirement life. That could be 15 years. That could be 20 years. That could be 25 years. Just as long as you're alive, taking those dollars out of those accounts. So what's the emphasis? Well, if we know, like most retirees know, that there is always that possibility that we may want something down the road that's going to be, you know, larger than buying the brand new refrigerator or putting windows in the house, then we have to be thoughtful. We have to be premeditated to be thinking about what kind of money is the best suited for those projects that may come up in retirement. Now, again, I know I'm speaking to those that are pre-retiring, but this is an absolute must. Being able to predict somewhat in the future, what's the likelihood that I may want to build that cabin somewhere in Wisconsin? What's the likelihood that I may want to purchase a second home down in Alabama somewhere? These are things that come up all the time. And this is the reason why it's important for us to dream. It's important for us to have those bucket list items. Because if those things genuinely are goals for retirement and for our retirement years, now is the perfect opportunity for us to be able to start making concession for those big withdrawals. Now, here's the point. If maybe you've never thought about it until now, and you're thinking, well, what can I do to save myself and be able to do this the right way for big ticket items down the road? If you're not retired yet, there are lots of things that you can do. Number one, you need to start looking more seriously at Roth conversions. Now, just a minute ago, it sounded like I was kind of putting the Roth conversion down because we know that there are limitations to Roth conversions. We don't want to Roth convert too much because we know it's going to sting us from a tax standpoint. We know that we're going to potentially lose the opportunity of touching those gains for 5 years. But all that aside, if we can use time to our advantage, let's say that you're 53 years of age, you still have another 7 to maybe 12 years before you get to retirement. Well, the reality is that you don't have to Roth convert nearly as much now to be able to get to that final dollar amount that you want to have as a lump sum amount of money to be able to pursue that dream, that aspiration that you had for retirement. We're going to continue to kind of unbox and dissect this because there's Another form of money we have to be able to acknowledge exists for a reason, but I'm going to show you a hack to be able to get there much faster. Sit tight. We'll be right back. You're not going to want to miss the second half.
You're locked on to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson. Have you missed any of today's program? No problem. You can hear all of our shows online anytime, 24/7 at johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com. Time now for more of the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.
And welcome back to the second half of the Capitalized Life and Retirement Show. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, president and owner of Johnson Wealth and Income Management, a retirement income source located in Clear Lake and Humboldt, Iowa, serving clients in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. If you're just joining us, welcome to today's program. Today, we're discussing the right type of money for the right application. When we think about it, we really do have access to all three different kinds of money in our life, especially true if we're not yet retired. We have pre-tax money, we have tax-free Roth money, and then we have post-tax money. Now, in the first half of our program, if you're just joining us, we're discussing this idea of, you know, what is the likelihood of you in retirement needing to have access to a lump sum of money in order to be able to buy a big ticket purchase? Maybe it's building another home. Maybe it's simply buying the car of your dreams, whatever it may be. And we need to remember that in the same way that we deferred money into the 401k or the 403b, and we never paid any taxes on that money, you know as well as I do that when we go to take the money back out, that's when we're going to be responsible for paying the piper, right? We're always going to be on the hook for the tax. And so if we can just be a little premeditated in what we save for retirement by saving other forms of money and taking the pre-tax money, which we know was important to save, it helped us save on taxes all throughout our working career by allowing us to be able to save money without being taxed. But then turning those pre-tax dollars into income, now we're able to take that money back out, keep ourselves in a lower income tax bracket, and we're able to have income that's going to last the rest of our life. Now, in order to be able to satisfy those big ticket purchases, we want to remember the purpose of the Roth conversion, okay? And you don't have to Roth convert. If you feel like you're behind, you'd like to have Roth money, that's the whole reason that the Roth conversion exists. And this gives us an opportunity for being able to make up for lost time. There's many baby boomers today that they're comfortable on the income that they've got. They've got more income than they really, really need. And so that affords them the opportunity of doing Roth conversions. It helps them cut down on what they're going to have to take out for a required minimum distribution when they turn 73. And there's some good things behind that, but it's going to be a taxable event. So if you're not retired, this is a perfect opportunity for you to do Roth conversions if you feel you have the capability of doing it within your own 401k, within your own 403b. And it's something that you have to ask your own employer if they will allow that to take place. But oftentimes, 401ks and 403bs today allow a person to be able to take money little by little, year by year, from the pre-tax side of their retirement account, put it into that Roth. And the good news is that if you are younger, maybe you're in your 40s, maybe you're in your early 50s, you've got time before you retire. And that's going to give that Roth money that you've taken out of the pre-tax side of that 401k and shifted it into the tax-free Roth side, it's going to give it an opportunity to grow. And you're not going to have to worry about the five-year rule, waiting 5 years to touch those gains. So many of you are going to our website, johnsonwim.com, like wealthincomemanagement.com, and you're posting questions, you're posting comments. If you have a financial question, if you have a financial quandary, I would encourage you go to our website, johnsonwim.com, and leave that question for me. Say, hey, Matthew, this is something that's been on my mind. Would you consider taking and doing an episode on that? That is something that I absolutely love being able to hear from the listeners and just kind of see what's going on in your life. See what I can do to be able to provide you with some answers to your question that not only will maybe help you, but also help the rest of us so we can all learn together. Now, we have to also discuss the idea that Roth money is going to be much more beneficial for surviving spouses. Remember, you could have a two-income home right now, but if one of you passes away, that surviving spouse is going to now be a single tax filer. Let me ask you a trick question. Can a single spouse, a surviving spouse, can they make as much income and still stay within the 12% tax bracket as the two of you did when you were both alive? If your answer was no, you're absolutely correct. So we have to be thinking about that. Not only can we maybe pay a little bit of tax now, experience a little bit of pain, and give ourselves an opportunity to have a bucket of money that's absolutely tax-free down the road, but it's also going to be helpful for your surviving spouse, because that surviving spouse is not going to be given the luxury of being able to have as much income before that surviving spouse is likely to pop into the next higher tax bracket. And ideally, remember, many, many people aspire to stay within the 12% tax bracket because, well, here's the deal. The lowest tax bracket is 10%. The next higher is 12. And then it goes from 12 to 22. It's the big jump. That's a 10% increase. And so for most folks, they aspire to try to stay within that 12% tax bracket if they can, because they know that that's going to be the most tax efficient tax bracket for them. Okay. But what's the third kind of money? The third kind of money is post-tax money. Now, post-tax money is the money that you got in the bank. Post-tax money is the wages that you've earned minus the taxes that you've already paid on those earned wages. And the reality is that if we are good with our money management, if we budget and we live within our means, we stay within that budget, as so many financial advisors try to encourage clients to do, and you're saving back money at the end of every month. Now, for some of you, you can't do that. For others, it's easy. But if we can save back post-tax money and we can actually get that money to be producing for us interest and dividend money, interest and dividend income, well, guess what? That's money that will compound upon itself. Every single month that goes by that you're getting paid interest and dividends, it's like a silent partner coming and making a deposit into your account. Think of that $100,000 sitting in the bank, being able to produce that $5,000 every single year. You didn't have to work for it. You didn't have to take a lot of risk in order to get that $5,000 being added to that money every single year. And what's the benefit of that? Because we're all smart enough to know that when you have money in the bank making 5%, well, you're going to get this little thing called a 1099-I, right? The bank sends you a notice that says, oh, congratulations, you've made X. Well, folks, we have to think outside of the bank. Now, granted, we have seen some really good times not that long ago where interest rates were really pretty high. And we were able to get bank CDs that paid 5% and maybe even a little bit better than that. But you know as well as I do that the initiative of the current administration is to bring interest rates in which direction? It's not up, it's down. Now we can listen to all of the rhetoric and all of the news, and we can read all the headlines that says that the Federal Reserve, they may end up keeping interest rates high and moving interest rates even higher if they see inflation explode and take off. And you know what? That is a possibility. It could happen. But we also know that if we've been watching the interest rate environment, we know that the interest rate environment is drifting lower and lower and lower. And so this idea that we can invest money safely in a CD and we're going to continue to make 4.5%, 5.5% on that money, let's just face it, it's a pipe dream. But, and this is a big exception here, you still have that capability of being able to invest for those kinds of interest rates outside of the bank. This is where individual and joint brokerage accounts exist. Now, granted, you have to pay taxes as you go every single year in the same way that the bank would be sending you a 1099-I. Your brokerage account, if it's invested for interest and dividends where you're making 5.5%, 6%, 6.5% with relative safety, you'll be paying taxes on those interest and dividend dollars. You'll be paying taxes on capital gains, if any. But guess what? Long-term capital gains are taxed at a discount. In fact, if you're in the 12% tax bracket, there's a possibility you might not even pay anything on long-term capital gains tax. How does getting a gain and paying zero tax sound to you? Sounds pretty good to me. And so we want to be able to make certain that our boat is as balanced as possible. Our teeter-totter is as balanced as possible. Because remember, there's three kinds of money in our life for a specific reason. Where so many financial advisors and institutions and 401k institutions are pushing pre-tax is one of the biggest lies that has ever been perpetrated on retirees. We have to take the initiative ourselves to make certain that we're doing what we can to free up completely tax-free money for ourselves, for our spouses. We need to make certain that we are not turning a blind eye to post-tax money. Because here's the thing. If little by little I've been saving back, say, $500 a month into a brokerage account, completely post-tax money, and that money has been compounding on itself, it's been making 5.5%, 6% in interest and dividends, it's been growing and compounding, but I've been paying the taxes on that money, on what that money has earned. Guess what? When I get to retirement and I decide I'm going to build that home, that beautiful log cabin in Wisconsin, I'm going to buy that big $70,000 boat. I'm going to buy the car of my dreams. Well, guess what? I now have access to post-tax money, which is going to afford me the opportunity of buying that item. Yeah, I might have a little bit in capital gains tax that I might have to pay, but I won't have that much. I might even be able to pay nothing depending upon the tax bracket that I'm in and how big my purchase was. If I have Roth money, I can feel completely at ease taking a huge chunk of money out of my Roth and buying that big ticket item. And this will allow me to take the pre-tax money that I still have, keep it intact, and allow it to continue to make me income. Remember, if your pre-tax money, if you've got a 401k and you're not retired, or even if you are retired, as long as you're over the age of 59.5, you might have the opportunity of rolling that pre-tax money into an IRA without any hitches. This affords you the opportunity of being able to divest. Invest in things that the 401k doesn't allow you to invest in. Get interest, get dividends, start doing Roth conversions. It allows you now to be broken free of the fishbowl the 401k and employer accounts require you to live in. But you see, there's a purpose for all three kinds of money. Just make certain you're thinking about not only the now, but down the road and what's going to serve you best in retirement so you can have the retirement of your dreams. I'm Matthew Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, it's up to you to make today a great day.
That's all the time we have for today. To schedule 15 minutes with Matthew off the air, call 866-290-3837. That's 866-290-3837. And for more information, visit us online at johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com. We will be back again next week at this same time for another Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.